Hopefully everybody's with me now. Maybe you didn't see any of worship, just worshiped him at your home. But we're going to get into the most important part of the service anyways, which is God's Word. Praise God. And so I'm so excited. And I'm going to pray here in a second. We're good for sure? Jake, we're good? I want to pray. Before we pray here, I want to address something real quick because there have been some questions people have reached out to me about some confusion people might be having because some ministries have stayed open, some ministries have closed. And there are very reputable ministries that have closed during this time, and there are very reputable ministries that have still stayed open or are doing different things maybe than we are. I explained this in the video that I sent out to everybody, and I've tried to mention a little bit, but let me just say something to you. First, if you have any questions, you're always more than welcome to reach out to me. Love to have you reach out and ask to what's going on, Pastor Mike. I would love to fill you in. But what you have to understand is that I don't have to give account for a church in California. I don't have to give an account for a church in Jamestown. And I had said that there's a lot of noise. And what I meant by noise is there was a lot of things that were trying to get us to do one thing, trying to get us to do another thing, a lot of pressure, a lot of different pulls. So I just spent time seeking God and said, Lord, what do you want me to do for my churches as the pastor of these churches? And it was so exciting as I sought God. He revealed some very cool things to me. He revealed things regarding the church. When I say church, I mean us as a whole. The church, different locations, the Allegheny South Dayton Church. But also he revealed things about people. He showed me things about people that was so helpful. But also, and this is so important, there's so many different aspects and things to consider. He showed me different things of each community. And let me just stress, as the pastor of this church and the Allegheny Church, let me stress this, that number one, my responsibility is to the safety and protection of the people that God has entrusted me to pastor. And I can't tell you, I couldn't even put it into words, how much I care about your lives, how much I want you blessed, how much I want you taken care of. And so, that was one of the major considerations that the Lord was showing me and some of the things he revealed to me when making this decision. But also, you have to understand too, I'm trying to reach the communities in where we have our churches, the Allegheny community, the South Dayton and the surrounding communities that are involved there. We're trying to reach the community, not scare the community. We're trying to reach the community and not look like arrogant people that are running through natural guidelines, like we can just do whatever we want. And when the world doesn't understand what we have, we're trying to reach people. And so the Lord showed me supernaturally things with the church, things with the people of the churches, but also in the community. And the decision was so clear to me. I said on Wednesday night, if there's any decision that I've ever made that I know that I know that I know it was him, it was this one. And so I don't know when we're going to stop, but I just encourage you, get on board. Praise God. Bring your faith. Bring your supply. And we're going to get through this season. We're going to get to the other side. The church is not going to be lesser or weaker when it's over. The church is going to be stronger when it's over. So I thank you so much for joining with me, trusting in me, believing in me, and praying for me. You know, the last thing your pastor ever wants to do is not have church. I mean, I go to church four times a week, you know, with the different midweek services. The last thing I want to do is not see you. And these situations have caused us not to be able to come to church and to not see one another. And also, it was a very weighty thing because my pastor did something completely different than me. But I'm not led by my pastor. I'm led by Jesus. And my pastor from the get-go told me, you need to follow your own heart. God's not going to lead everybody the exact same way. And so for us, this is what we're doing. Hallelujah. Jump on board. Things are going to be great. And we're going to the other side. Hallelujah. Also, I want to make a mention. If you turn with me to Hebrews 10:25, because this has been brought to my attention, and we just answer everything by the Word of God. Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. People have said, there have been people that have said it in high-profile positions even, that if you are going to a live stream church right now, you are violating Hebrews 10:25. Well, let me tell you something. We are not violating Hebrews 10:25. You say, Pastor, what makes you right? What makes your opinion right? Well, it's not my opinion. We have to look at what the Bible says. We can't take scriptures, this is very dangerous, take scriptures to make them fit our agenda, to make them fit our opinions or our philosophies. No, God means what He says and says what He means. He's not the author of confusion. We know that it is a fact that God values us coming together to church. The Bible says right here, don't forsake coming together. Hallelujah. There are places in the world that have forsaken the coming together and they've gone to live stream only way before this. That is a violation of the word. They're not assembling together. We know Paul said this. He said, I desire to see you that I can impart to you. We know in the Bible there's value to the corporate anointing. We know that. We value that. I am pro going to church. Amen. Of anybody that I know, I'm pro going to church the most. But you say, but you're not going to church this time. You're violating Hebrews 10:25. We need to look at the wording. The Bible says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. That word forsake, and you can do your own study on this in the Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek. You can look it up in a Greek concordance. That word forsake means to abandon or to desert. We have not abandoned or deserted the coming together. When you abandon or desert it, yeah, you're violating the word. We have temporarily made an adjustment and a change in something we've never seen before in the government, in the world shutting down like we've never, at least I've never seen before in my time, the reaction to this. We're making a temporary adjustment by the leading of the Holy Ghost. So be assured, ladies and gentlemen, we're not forsaking. We're not out of the will of God. We haven't deserted. We haven't abandoned coming to church. And as soon as we can get those doors open, you know I'm going to be here shouting from the rooftops, come to church. It's where your help is. Amen. So before we get in the word this morning, let's pray. Let's believe God for utterance. Let's believe God for His help this morning. Father, we're just so grateful. We're just so thankful for all that you're doing. Father, we're just so grateful and thankful for all that you've done for us, for all that you've provided for us. Father, we thank you for your precious written word of God. Father, this is our appointment with you. This is our visitation with you. This is where we come to hear from heaven. Father, I thank you for help this morning. I thank you for change this morning. I thank you for increase this morning. Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, Father, words from heaven will fly out of my mouth. Bullseyes will hit people's hearts. You'll speak to them, Father, in the situations and circumstances of exactly where they're at, Father. I thank you they will lack nothing. I thank you we're going to hear from you today. We have an appointment with you, a visitation with you. So, Father, we thank you for all that will be said, all that will be done. And, Father, we'll make sure that you'll get the praise. We'll make sure that you'll get the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to John 16 and verse 33. The last three services we've started here, this being the third online here, because this is where the Holy Ghost has me right now as a launching place. We won't camp out here the whole time, but John 16 and verse 33 is where we're going to start. And again, anybody has questions, why this, why that, just reach out. I don't bite. I've yet to bite anyone, you know. I love people, want to encourage you and help you, and I'm a safe place, amen. You don't have to worry about me judging or criticizing or being angry with you. I just want to help you, and if you have confusion and questions, go ahead and reach out. But in John 16, 33, look what the Bible says. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. His plan is peace for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Not turmoil. Not hardship. Remember Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Oh, he's got peace for us. But he does tell us a fact here. He says, in the world, well, that's where we are. That's where I am today. I'm in the world. You will have tribulation. Tribulation means tests, trials, adversities, distresses, anguish. Different things will come against us in the world. But then he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the Bible says that the world offers some things. And the Bible says that God offers some things. The world offers tribulation. The world offers tests and trials, anguish, distresses, hardships. But the Bible says that God offers us peace and says that we are to be of good cheer, which means be rejoicing. Why? Because He has overcome what the world has to offer us. So we can take part in, we are heirs of Jesus. We are heirs of God. We are heirs together with Christ. We're seated with Him. We receive of Him, praise God. If He's overcome, He's given us the ability to overcome through Him. So the tests and trials and the adversities that come to us, praise God, we can be excited because Jesus already overcame them. And if we'll go His direction and His way, we'll overcome them too. Praise God. You know, we were, I always tell the story about walking with my kids in the woods, and this just recently happened again where we were out looking for deer antlers, you know, and there was a spot that I had found two shed antlers that were laying there within the matter of 10 minutes' time, and that's pretty good. You find those, you know, that's pretty good luck, and I wanted to go back to that spot because there's a lot of deer sign in that area, so I thought this might be a good spot. It was real thick, just small little narrow trails to get through, and I have my little, she's just turned seven, I have my little seven-year-old Abby with me, you know, she's so little, so small, and you know, the things that maybe come up to my waist or something are right in her face, you know, and prickers and briars and thorns and things like that. And we were going through an area, and I told her, I said, you don't want to go this way. Go around this way. Go the way I'm telling you to go, and you'll be blessed. Sure enough, what am I hearing back? This is the cutest thing I'm hearing. Ow. Oh. Ooh. And I look back and she's picking the stuff out of her. She's stuck and caught in the thorns. Go my way. And Jesus is saying, the world, you're going to get stuck. The world's going to offer you tough things. But in me, I offer you peace. Now, I want to, before I even go forward today, let me say something. Coronavirus is real. It's not a conspiracy. It's a real thing. Just as much as the flu is a real thing, just as much as arthritis is a real thing. So I want to make sure nobody thinks we're denying that. People are getting sick from it. It is highly contagious. It's something that many people have lost their lives to. That is true. And so when I say that, please know the position I'm coming from is not to deny that or to discredit that, but understand that going forward. But here's what I want you to know. Right now, what the world is offering us, promoting to us, talking about nonstop. And again, this isn't a criticism. It's all the world knows. It's all the media knows. They don't know what else is offered to them, but the world is what? Promoting right now. Fear, sickness, disease, and death. And you might think to yourself, yeah, no duh, Pastor Mike. There's this new virus that's created a global pandemic. But my point is, that's what the world is offering us right now. Fear, sickness, disease, death. It's being just pumped at us nonstop. And again, those things are truly happening. But just as much as those things are existing, that there is a new virus, that it is contagious, that people can get it, that people can suffer symptoms, that some people have lost their life, just as much as that's truly happening, there's also another fact that I'm going to shout from the rooftops. The world is offering us that, and that's all they have for us. But God has something different for you. Amen. Go with me to Psalms 91. I want to show you what the Word says about the, there's things in this verse you'll see that the world has it one way, but with God it can be different. I'm here to offer you hope and help today. Life can be and should be different for God's people. Amen. And the world, if you just receive of the world, you're going to only receive of tribulation, sickness and fear, heartache, destruction, devastation, disease and death. But God says, I have a blessing, I have a way for people to stay out of that stuff. Amen. Just like Abby, you know, there was a way. Daddy tried to make a way for her to not, and then all I heard was, ow, ooh, ee. It was the cutest thing, you know, seeing her back there just getting, you know, stuck in the prickers, but offer her a better way. God's saying, the world is a big fat pricker bush. The world is a big fat thorn bush, and all it's offering you is hardship, but I'm offering you better. Look what he says in Psalm 91 in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now notice this. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I'll trust. Now look at what God says to His people that choose to go His way and dwell in His shadow. Look what He says. He says, He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. All this stuff we're hearing about. He says, don't be afraid of it. He said, 1,000, verse 7, may fall at your side. 10,000 may fall at your right hand. What's that mean? You might see with your own eyes death and destruction. And that's a real thing. But He says, if you'll dwell in My covering, He says, it shall not come near you. That's what He's offering. Again, not denying what's going on, but I can't deny the truth of my God and His power, that it's real and that He's offering us better. Amen. Amen. Verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall be no evil. Everybody say, no evil.
No evil.
No evil shall befall you. Now notice this next part. Neither shall any plague. You know what a plague is? A disease. Any. So when God put this in His Word for eternity and settled it forever in heaven, it wasn't with Him being ignorant to what was going to happen in 2020 with the coronavirus. He said, any plague. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. That means there's plagues, but if you'll stay in Him and do things His way, said it won't come near you. Praise God. What the world offers, what God offers. See, the world tells you, you just never know. Oh, we're all vulnerable. We're just all this and that. But God is telling you, I offer you a way out of that. Praise God. He said, for He shall give, verse 11, His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They, the angels, will bear you up in your hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. You shall trample under feet because He has set His love upon Me. Therefore, I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known My name. He shall call upon Me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him with long life. I will satisfy Him and show Him My salvation. Amen. You know what this is? This is God's offer out of the world. For those that are Christians here this morning that are listening, part of this church, tuning in from other places, God is offering you better than what the world has for you. Those you've never been to church, you have no idea. I'm here to tell you, God is offering you better. Right now, it feels like only things that are offered are sickness, disease, and death, and fear, and it's just, this is just what we have to, no. He said, in the midst of people dying, it doesn't have to come near us. In the midst of plagues being real, it doesn't have to touch us. Now, I do need to point out, because it's biblical, it is conditional. It says here in verse 1, you have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. What's that mean? His shadow means being with Him. Going his way, praise God. Doing things his way. What does it say in verse 9? Because he's made the Lord his refuge, his habitation. What's he saying? Because he's made the Lord his dwelling place, then these good things will happen, praise God. It's conditional. What is his shadow? What encompasses his shadow? His word encompasses his shadow. Amen. You can't walk out of love and expect these blessings. You can't walk in unforgiveness and bitterness and hold grudges. Why? That's not under his shadow. You can't walk in doubt and unbelief and fear and anxiety and worry and expect this to work for you. Why? That's not what his shadow encompasses. His shadow is victory. His shadow is belief. His shadow is faith. His shadow is encouragement. It's love, praise God. So it is conditional. We have a part. God has a part. But God is saying, here's your part. Just like I had, you know, Abby's 7 now. Abby, don't walk there. She knows what don't walk there means. She knows what don't go through here means. What was I doing? Offering her a better way out, but it was conditional. You're not going to get pricked and in the prickers if you go this way, if you go this way. And God's saying, come with me. Come and receive of me, praise God. So I want to encourage everybody watching and listening. I know what's being promoted. I know what we're hearing. We're hearing nonstop sickness. I mean, this disease, this sickness, this virus has overtaken the whole planet. Amen. It's all anybody's talking about. It's all the news is saying. It's all the internet, right? That's the majority. That's what's being offered. But that does not mean that God's word is still not true. It does not mean that God doesn't have better. So somebody has to get up here and scream at you and let you know there's better and there's hope and there's help. Amen. Hallelujah. So go with me to Acts 10:38. I want to show you in the midst of a disease, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of death, what God says his people can have. Hallelujah. That music I hear that out there, it needs to be... Hopefully that's not what that's been hearing on live stream, because that's... Okay. Acts 10:38. We're working all these issues out. We've never done all this for very long, so we got some new stuff. I think I'm more clearer today. This is the HD version of Pastor Mike right here. And, you know, eventually you're going to see that Pastor Mike needs a haircut. So I had let my hair, asked my hairdresser, I said to her, I said, are you doing private haircuts right now? And she unfortunately told me no. She said, no, she's not doing private. Are we okay, Jeff? Everything good over there? We're good with live stream? Everything's good? Getting any messages, anything? We are doing private haircuts? No private haircuts. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, how I wish. Back in the day in high school, I wish I had one of those haircuts where I could just shave my head. You know, back in the day, I shaved my head. But here's the problem, especially the HD version of Pastor Mike. If I shave my head and come in here, you are going to think that your pastor turned into Eddie Munster. I mean, I got a widow's peak for days. I give Eddie Munster a run for his money. And so, and here's the problem. Anybody that's out there, you cut hair, I mean, I might need to call on you. I'll wear gloves. I'll wear a mask. I'll wear a hazmat suit. But eventually this thing's going to get out of control with all my colics. And the problem is, this hairdresser has taken years to figure out the intricacies of the colics on my head. So if you're out there and you're up for the challenge and you're willing, I'll hazmat suit up, I'll glove up, I'll put the face mask on, and I will do whatever it takes, but I might need you. So just keep that in mind. If the Lord leads you, praise God. But Acts 10:38, hallelujah, we're showing what God has to offer us. Praise God. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice what it says here. How God anointed. What are we telling you? What God has to offer. What does God have to offer? Well, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, here we have sickness and disease lined up, and here we have the answer to sickness and disease. What is the answer to sickness and disease? Jesus. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So yes, there is oppression of the devil. There is real life sickness and disease. But the Bible says that God anointed Jesus for that very fact. Sickness and disease is being promoted, but I'm here to promote the answer to sickness and disease. The answer to sickness and disease is Jesus. The answer to sickness and disease is Him. And the Bible says that He went about doing good, healing those that were oppressed of the devil. So sickness has nothing on Him. And the Word says in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That same Jesus that had the power over sickness and disease 2,000 and some years ago is the same Jesus today in 2020 with the coronavirus sweeping the world, getting all the press, all the headlines. The same Jesus is the cure. They say, we don't have a vaccine. We don't have a cure for this. No, there is a cure for this. There is a vaccination for this, and His name is Jesus. He's the name above all names. And in Acts 10:38, He went about undoing the works of sickness. So, child of God, body of Christ, I don't want you to focus on the virus, the virus, the virus. Let's focus on the answer, the help, the cure. Our Jesus, praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is our hope. We need to keep our eyes on Him. Hebrews 12 says this, you don't need to turn there, but Hebrews 12 says, looking unto the virus. Looking unto Jesus. See, if you look at the wrong things will happen. It's true. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, remember in Matthew 14 when Peter walked on the water? There were wind and waves, and Peter got out of the boat. And Jesus said, come walk on the tumultuous sea. Come walk on the wind and waves. And Peter did that. He went walking on the wind and waves. And what happened? He walked on the water. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and saw the wind and the waves, what happened? The Bible says he began to sink. Ladies and gentlemen, with what they're telling us and the doom and gloom and the things that have factually happened, if that's all we're looking at, that's what's going to get into us, and that's what's going to cause our faith to go down and our belief in sickness to go up, our belief in a virus to go up, and we have the answer and the cure the whole time. But the problem is people aren't looking at it enough. And when Peter took his eyes off Jesus and saw all the bad and that got in him, he sank. And unfortunately, you have a lot of Christians right now who have the answer, who God has offered them, who's promised them and said, no plague will come near your dwelling. Here's a promise to you. No plague will come near your dwelling. And they're still in fear. They're still in anxiety. They're still wondering, what if, why? Because that's what we're looking at. But the Bible tells us to look at Jesus. You parents out there, you ever told your kids something, they're not looking, you say, look at me. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Jesus is saying, look at me. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus. Looking, well, when we look at Jesus, what are we looking at? Oh, the one that went around in Acts 10:38 and undid the works of sickness. When we look at Jesus, we exalt the cure, we exalt the help, we exalt the healing. While we look at the world, all it is fear and death and destruction and doom and gloom and what are we going to do? And here the whole time, we have the answer. But a lot of people don't know we have the answer. Jesus is the answer to these things. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 3, 13. Look at what the Bible says here. Christ. Christ. Who? You know, that same Jesus that went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Christ has redeemed us, notice this, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now remember Jesus said, look at me. Well, one thing we can look at Christ is that the Bible says he hung on a tree for us. But when he hung on that tree, it says in verse 13, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. When was he made a curse? The Bible tells us when he was made a curse, being written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse. When did he become a curse? When he hung on the tree. Now, what does that have to do with sickness and disease, Pastor Mike? What does that have to do with that? Well, to fully understand it, you have to understand what the curse of the law was. Now, I don't have time to go into all of this, but I'm going to just mention this to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 60-something, in the verses 1 through 15, God tells the children of Israel, he says, if you'll obey my law, if you'll obey my blessings, this good will happen to you. He says in verses 16 down through verse 61, he says, if you don't do what I say, basically if you step outside my covering, this is the result. What's he saying? You step outside my covering, you're stepping into the world that what? Only offers you tribulation. Only offers you distress, anguish, hardship, sickness, and disease. And so he tells them in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15, stay in my covering, these are the blessings. Step outside my covering, and bad things happen. Same thing. Abby, stay where I tell you to go, good things happen. Don't go where I don't tell you to go, and bad things happen. Nobody can blame me. Abby cannot blame me for the oohs, the ees, the ows. I told her what to do. God told people what to do. And remember, in Deuteronomy, he said, I've laid before you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, I've set before you this day, called a record, heaven and earth, blessing and cursing, life and death. He says, just choose life. Right. Abby, choose the right way. Choose the right way. And God's saying, choose life. But what I want you to see, in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 61, it talks about all the things that come on somebody when they step outside, and the curses of the disobedience to the law. In verse 61, it says, and also every sickness and plague that's not mentioned in this book. Well, verses 1 through 15 talked about all the blessings, and in those blessings were blessings for prosperity, blessings for protection, but also blessings for your physical body. Well, when you get into the disobedience or stepping outside of God's boundaries, it talks about curses that come on people in their body, curses that come on people in their family, curses that come on people in their finances. But one of the main things that you read are different diseases and conditions that are mentioned there. But then it says in verse 61, also every sickness and plague that's not mentioned. Well, when I read down from verse 16 to 61, I don't see coronavirus mentioned. I don't see specifically cancer mentioned. I don't see specifically HIV mentioned or arthritis specifically mentioned. But the Bible says any of those things. So God was including all sickness and disease. But here's what I want you to see. That was the curse of the law. The Bible says Jesus became a curse and redeemed us from the curses of the law. Well, what was one of the main curses of the law? Sickness and disease. What sickness and disease? Any sickness, any disease. I'm here to tell you, when the world's promoting doom and gloom, I'm here to tell you, you've been redeemed from coronavirus. You've been redeemed from cancer. You've been redeemed from whatever. Now, before you start thinking to yourself, okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, how then, if we're redeemed from them, how then are people still experiencing those things? How are people still going through some of those things? Well, I'm not here to tell you I know every single situation and behind the scenes what people are believing or not believing. All I know that I know is that God tells you it's available to you if you'll do it His way. The problem's never on Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just because, this is important to know, just because God says you can have something doesn't mean everybody's going to have it. What did I say earlier? There's a God side and a man side. You know, that same day I told Caleb specifically where to stay out of. One kid stayed out of it. One kid walked in it. You know what was available to both my children that day? Never get a pricker. Never to get stuck. It was available to both of them. I offered it to both of them, told them exactly where to go. One did it, one didn't. Well, it was available to both of them. You could look at the outside and say, oh, it wasn't Pastor Mike's will that his daughter not be in the pricker bush because she ended up in the pricker bush. No, I offered them to be out of the pricker bush, and one took me up on the offer. And I'm trying to take you up on the offer. But fear is not how you're going to get in God's shadow. Doubt and unbelief and worry and anxiety are not how you slip in to the shadow of the Almighty and receive all these blessings. Faith is. So I'm trying to pump your faith up in the midst of a world that's bombarding you with the wrong thing. There's hope and help, and His name is Jesus. He hung on a tree, He became a curse, and redeemed me or purchased me from having to walk into sickness and disease. Go with me to John chapter 3 and verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. Hallelujah. He's good. John chapter 3 and verse 14. It says here, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. One thing you have to understand about the Old Testament is the Old Testament always points to Jesus. He hadn't arrived on the scene yet, but there's what they call types and shadows. You know, Jonah being 3 days in the belly of the whale is a type and shadow of Jesus being 3 days in the heart of the earth. Abraham walking his son up on the mountain to sacrifice his one and only son was a type and shadow of the Father having to sacrifice Jesus. Well, the Bible says that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must Jesus be lifted up. So what that tells us is that when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, it was a type and shadow of the coming Messiah. We can learn some things about Jesus being lifted up, which was on the cross, not a pole, but on the cross, the same way we can learn at what the purpose of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. Let's go take a look at that. Go to Numbers 21:7. Numbers 21:7. Hallelujah. He is good. Can you grab my phone, please? Thank you. Numbers 21:7 says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. See that? And it says here, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Thank you, sir. Make a fiery serpent. Hallelujah. You see that? It says, make a fiery serpent. And it says, and set it on a pole. Remember, the Bible says, as Jesus must be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the pole. Now, look what the purpose of him setting it on the pole. It says, it shall come to pass that when everyone is bitten, when he looks upon it, they shall live. And Moses made a serpent. Look at this. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld or looked, everybody say looked, looked at the serpent of brass, he lived. So we have a situation where things are happening in the land. The people are being bitten. The people are being hurt. The people are suffering symptoms. The people are dying from the snake bites. And God says, I have an answer for that problem that's going on in the land. Put a serpent on a pole. And people say, what was God's purpose back then? Well, they wouldn't have known the God's purpose back then until they knew that that was a type and shadow of the coming Jesus and what Jesus was going to do up on his pole. It says, put a serpent on a pole, and it come to pass that if a serpent bit any man, when he beheld it, the serpent of brass, he lived. He said, when people will look at this serpent on the pole, if they've been bitten, when normal symptoms would come, when people would contract different things and their body would give in a certain way to how those symptoms are, the Bible says that God told him, if you'll look at the pole with the snake on the pole, in the midst, praise God, everybody say that, in the midst. It says, in the midst of that, if you'll look at it, in the midst of it, when everything else is going on, you won't be touched. You will live above what's being offered by the world. God says, here, everybody's suffering this. I'm offering you higher. Now, remember what it said in John chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, what does that mean? The Son of Man must be lifted up on a pole, on a cross. Well, what happened when people looked at the serpent on the pole? They stayed healthy and whole. You know what's going to happen when you get a revelation of Galatians 3:14? That Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Something happened when your Jesus was lifted up on the cross the same way the serpent was lifted up on the pole. And God tells us, looking unto Jesus. Well, what happened on the cross? Remember, we already looked at it. You were redeemed from the curse of the law. Every sickness and disease, God's saying, because of what was lifted up on the cross, that is your out from anything you're experiencing now or anything that's trying to get on you or the world tells you that you can't escape from. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyways, so what am I trying to tell you? How God anointed Jesus to undo sickness, Acts 10:38 says. We have to look in the right place. The only thing we're being told is doom and gloom, disease, 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 sickness, sickness, sickness. Now remember, the Bible says God healed them that were oppressed of the devil. The devil is the author of sickness and disease. The devil's plan, the devil's promotion is all over the world right now. Non-stop sickness, non-stop disease, non-stop fear. And the whole time God says, we have an answer. We have a cure. But you got to look to Jesus. Glory to God. We have to look to Jesus. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 11:23. First Corinthians 11:23. Praise God. This is what we're going to look at later, and it's so fitting today to look at communion. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 11:23. If I can get there here. Now this is communion here, and so we talk about communion, but a lot of people don't recognize what communion really is. I want to help you today going forward with looking unto Jesus. Who's Jesus? Our healer. He's the out that God's offering us. When the world's promoting this, God's saying, promote Jesus. Promote Jesus. Jesus is the answer to that virus. Jesus is the answer to that cancer. Jesus is the answer to that arthritis. Jesus is the answer to that blood condition. Jesus is the answer to that bone condition. Jesus is the answer to that mental condition. Jesus is the answer to that emotional condition. He's our answer. And I'm going to shout him over and over and over and over. Because he's our answer. And if they're going to shout one thing, I'm going to shout something else. Because God's plan is real. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, now notice this, unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, say this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, this is talking about communion, but we know with communion, the bread represents the body, the juice represents the blood. But see, his body and his blood played a significant role for you and I. We don't just break the bread and partake of the bread and drink the juice for the blood just to simply remember what he did. There was a purpose for the body and the blood. And if we don't recognize and discern what that is, we will struggle. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, look what it says in verse 29. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. Well, what does it mean to eat and drink unworthily? You say, now you could put all sorts of interpretations on that, but the best way to interpret the Bible is let the Bible interpret itself. Amen. What way do we eat or drink unworthily? Does it mean not eating with the right hand? Does it mean not closing our eyes? Does it mean having to have a certain type of juice? Does it mean... You could go all sorts of things. Does it mean sitting down? Do I have to cross my legs? Am I too casual? No, it tells you exactly what it is. What does it mean to eat and drink damnation to himself? Because it says, whoever eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. How? Not discerning the Lord's body, verse 29. The Bible says that the way we drink and eat of the bread unworthily is when we don't discern what the blood or the juice represents and what it did and what the body represented and what the body did for us. What did Christ's body do? Well, remember what Christ's body did. He hung on the cross, became a curse for us. All sickness and disease were placed on him so we could be free from it. And the Bible said when we look at Jesus on the cross, the same way they looked at the serpent in the wilderness, we can live and receive healing and strength. When we look at our healer, just like Jesus told Peter, look at me and come on the water. When Peter looked at him, he could walk over the circumstances, walk over what the world was offering him. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he got his faith on other things. Amen. Praise God. I always tell about the first time I got on a roller coaster. It was the Superman at Darien Lake. And I used to be the guy that was the professional purse, coat, souvenir, and bag holder for amusement park rides. Stand there, everybody put it on. I was terrified of those things. But I saw the joy of people's faces coming off. I became a youth leader, and we would go to amusement parks, and I'd see the fun. The kids would ask me to go on rides, all doing this kind of thing and having fun, and I was terrified. And finally, one trip to Darien Lake on a youth group trip for Kingdom Mount, I said, that's it. I am conquering this fear. So I got lined for the biggest ride that was there. It's a big roller coaster, the Superman, straight up, back down, all around, twists and winds, you know, real fast. And it's a thrill ride, and I knew that's the one I want to get on. People are loving that thing. They're getting off. And so when I endeavored to get on that thing, as we drove up, I refused to look at that hill. I refused to look at that hill. I refused to even stare at that thing. When we went into the park, you could see the thing tower. I refused to look at it. Why? The more I looked at it, the more it made me afraid. The more you look at sickness and disease, and the more that's where your gaze is and that's where your focus is, that's what's going to come unto you. The more you look at your problems, the more you just keep staring at your problems, not just sickness and disease, maybe it's your finances. You just keep looking at the numbers, looking at the bills, going over in your head. That's where your faith's going to be. You got to look at the right thing. And so I wouldn't look at that thing. Walking up to that thing, I had people guide me. I'm not looking at that thing. I get in line, and you'd hear the of the tracks going up. I'm not looking at that thing. I get on that thing. I'm keeping my eyes head down, you know, getting in there, getting strapped in, and I'm headed up the hill, and the person I'm with says, "Look over the side, how high we are." Well, there went my faith right out the window, but I was already on the ride. And I enjoyed it and got off that thing. And now I've been to some of the biggest roller coasters in the world, some that have been world records at Cedar Point. Rode them and loved them, had a great time. Me and my kids and family, we enjoy those things now. But how did I get over that fear? I stopped looking at it. Amen. Stopped looking at it. Yes. And all that's being put in our vision right now is sickness and disease. Financial turmoil and crisis financially. And that's all we're looking at. And the whole time, God says, here's your answer. Look at them. Discern, understand what he has for you. Now notice this in verse 29, I'm almost done. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What's the damnation he's talking about? Well, the damnation is found in verse 30. For this cause, what cause? Not discerning the Lord's body. Not recognizing and understanding what exactly his body was for and what it did. You know, there's people all over the body of Christ. I was a Christian for a long time. And had no idea what communion meant. Had no idea what Jesus hanging on the cross did for me. I knew that part of it, that it was salvation, but that's all I was taught. And there are people all over the world that believe in Jesus, and they think the only thing his body did up on that cross was redeem us from sickness, or redeem us from our sins. And that's not true. He became a curse on that tree and redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if you read the curse of the law, it's a physical curse, it's mental and emotional curse, and it's a financial curse and a spiritual curse, and he's redeemed us from all of it. And when Moses lifted up the serpent, the same way Jesus was going to be lifted up, it wasn't for spiritual healing for those people. He said, look at it so you can receive physical strength. Physical healing, to go through a situation untarnished, unharmed. What did he say in Psalm 91? He said, no plague come near your dwelling. 1,000 may fall at your side and at your right hand and at your side, 10,000, but it won't come near you. He's saying, here's your offer. I gave you Jesus. Look unto him. So what's the damnation? It says this cause, many are weak, sick, and sleep among you. That's the progression of death right there. Weakness turns into sickness. Sickness that goes unaccounted for and allowed to run free ultimately leads to death. Look at what God says here, people. He said, many, for this cause, verse 30, many, not a few, many are weak, that's feeling it in your body, sick, feeling it in your body, and sleep, which is the ultimate destruction of the body, death. It's not talking about a nap here. It's talking about dying. He says, many are this way. Well, why are many this way? Not because there's a devil. Not because there's sicknesses in the world. Jesus is the answer to the devil. Remember the Bible says Jesus came to undo the works of darkness? Jesus came to undo what the devil does. Acts 10:38 showed us the devil was doing sickness. Jesus was doing healing. Not because there's real life sicknesses out there. No, God said there's plagues out there, but they don't have to come near you. Amen. Why are people many sick or weak, sick, and sleeping? One reason, for this cause. What's the cause? Not discerning the Lord's body. Not having any revelation that when he hung on that cross, he hung there for your sickness as well. We need to be looking at him. Amen. Looking at what? Jesus on the cross, you took my sickness and disease. Go to Isaiah 53, verse 4, and we'll close here. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Nobody's denying that coronavirus isn't real. Nobody's denying that it's contagious. Nobody's denying that people are dying. Nobody's denying that people are getting sick. Nobody's denying that. But you can't deny that God doesn't have an answer. That God doesn't have a cure. That's just as true as what you can see in the natural. Amen. And so we're basically saying what God said. Life and death, take your pick. You can choose what the world offers, but God's way and God's plan is higher and better. I just feel encouraged to say this right now. Stop staring and putting your faith and hope in everything you can see. In your bills, if your paycheck fluctuates, your world's either, you're either happy or down based on your paycheck. You're either happy or down based on the symptoms in your body. And it rises and falls with that. You're up if it's good, you're down if it's bad. And you're looking at those things, and faith is coming. I got faith in my paycheck, I got faith in my medicine, I got faith in my body, I got faith in this and that. When God says, I'll give you an out for all of it, but you got to look to Him. If nonstop, all day long, you're just thinking about your bills and your finances and your paycheck, that's little room for Jesus to get in there and do anything. If all day you're just watching the news and reading articles about coronavirus and sickness, death, and disease, guess where your faith's going to be? Amen. But what if you just put on healing scriptures? What if you'd stare at the Word and meditate in the Word? What if you'd fill yourself up an hour before bed instead of watching 2020 reports on how terrible this is? What if you spent an hour listening to God's Word on healing and getting that in you? It's your choice. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, surely He, this is, Isaiah was the messianic prophet. What's that mean? He prophesied a lot about the coming Messiah, Jesus. And this was a prophecy he had about Him. It says, surely He, Jesus is the subject here, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now before we stop there, remember, the Old Testament and the New Testament were not written in English. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. The New Testament was originally written in Greek, translated into English for our benefit. Now, you can do this on your own. You can get a Hebrew concordance, which you can get that off Christian bookstore.com, get a Hebrew concordance, a Bible dictionary, look these words up, and look up the word grief and sorrow, and you'll see what the Hebrew word for grief and sorrow was. Now, the problem with how they translated the word grief and sorrow in this portion of Scripture is that when it's written in other places in the Bible, it's not translated as griefs and sorrows. When those other Hebrew words were used, they did not come out in English as griefs and sorrows. And you'll look on your Hebrew concordance, if you'll look it up, or you can just trust me, I'm not going to lie to you, those Hebrew words do not translate to griefs and sorrows. Those Hebrew words translate to sickness and pains. Amen? So the Bible says He has borne our sickness and our pains. Well, Galatians 3 told us the same thing. He became a curse for us. He became the curse of the law. Well, one of the major things of the curse of the law was sickness. Jesus became sickness on the cross for us to redeem us from it. Amen. That's why when you look at Him on the pole, we can see, hey, He took my sickness. He's my healer. It says, surely He has borne our sickness and carried our pains. Isaiah looked into the future and was shown a glimpse that when Jesus was on the cross, He was going through that curse of the law. Sickness was being placed on Him. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, we are healed. The stripes what? That were placed on His body. What did the word say? Why are many weak, sick, and sleep? Not discerning the Lord's body. Well, what happened to the Lord's body? Many stripes were laid upon Him. Stripes of what? Sickness and disease. And with His stripes, because of the stripes that were laid on Him, we can be healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And if we'll look at Him and start to recognize Him as healer, we can go through life and not get what the world gets. When things try to attack us, we have an answer. We have healing, praise God. And before anybody out there says, Pastor Mike's wrong, that's talking about in verse 5 that we were spiritually healed. You never were spiritually healed. You were spiritually reborn. You were spiritually made brand new. The Bible says, he that is in Christ is a new creation. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. When I got saved, my gray hair didn't go away. My shortness didn't change. My stockiness didn't change. The way I talked didn't change. My face didn't change. Nothing in my body changed. What changed was my spirit man. But my spirit man didn't get a Band-Aid. It didn't get healed. God didn't go in and put it on the operating table and heal my spirit. The Bible says I was made brand new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 and 21 tell us that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We've been made the righteousness of God. How? By being made brand new. We were called born again. When you're born, you weren't here before. Born again. We've been reborn, a rebirth. Your spirit was never healed. It was made new. But your body can be healed by what Jesus did on the cross. So I encourage you, meditate in this. Meditate in Acts 10:38. Meditate in not discerning the Lord's body. Many years when you understand what he did. Meditate on Galatians 3:13, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Meditate on Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5. Meditate on Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17 that says, Jesus took our sicknesses and our pains. He bore it in his own body. Meditate on those things. Meditate on 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes, you are the healed of the Lord. Meditate on Psalms 103 verse 3 that says, yes, you can be forgiven, but you can also have all your sickness healed, all diseases taken care of. Meditate on Exodus 15 and verse 26 that tells you that God is your healer. Meditate on those things. Meditate on Psalms 107 and verse 20 that says that God sends his word to heal you. Meditate on that. Get that in your heart. Meditate on Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, that says that his word is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Meditate on 3 John verse 2, that says it's his will above all things that you walk in prosperity and health, praise God. The world's promoting nothing because that's what they have to offer. We're not saying that they're offering us, I believe sometimes the fear machine and things maybe aren't super accurate all the time, but coronavirus is real. That's a real sickness. That's a real contagious thing. People are really dying. People are really catching it. And if that's all we're hearing all the time, that's what the world's offering. But God's saying, yeah, that's what the world's offering that you're living in, but in me you can have peace. In me I've overcome them and you can too if you'll do it my way. You got to start discerning what Jesus did for you on the cross and understanding, hey, I am free from sickness and disease. I have a get out of jail free card because of what my Jesus did. And you got to apply your faith to that. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, thank you for helping us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving us our help, offering hope and help in a time of natural discouragement and despair in the world. Father, as Christians, we have nothing to fear. As Christians, we have nothing to be discouraged of. As Christians, we have nothing to fret or be anxious about. So, Father, I thank you for the hope that is in Jesus. Now, if you're listening here this morning, and you're wherever you are, in your home, in your car, whatever, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know for sure 100% that I'm going to heaven. I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We talked about healing today. And thank God for healing. Thank you, Lord. But the greatest blessing that God has given us is the blessing of salvation, which the same way healing comes through Jesus, salvation comes through Jesus. And so I encourage you this morning, if you're here or listening to me and you say, Pastor Mike, I don't know that I'd go to heaven if today were my last day. The Bible says in John 3:16, if you believe on Jesus, you'll have eternal life and not perish. Jesus is the answer out of sickness, and Jesus is the answer out of hell. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. I'm here to offer you Jesus this morning. You're not committing to my church. You're not committing to any church. It's simple. It's a two-step process. You believe in him and receive him. That's it. I know the world teaches you that you got to jump through religious hoops and you got to have your morals in a line and you have to have church attendance. No, how you get to heaven is by receiving Jesus. You look at the criminal that died on the cross next to Jesus. He looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus did not look back at him and say, you didn't go to church enough. You weren't a good enough person. No, Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. All the guy did was simply believe in him and call on his name. Romans 10:13 says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So if you can say, I don't know that I am saved, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, it's simple. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that's going to be declaring your belief in him, but asking him to come into your heart. I'm just asking you to repeat it after me and mean it with all your heart. And then send me an email. Give me a phone call. Let me know you prayed this prayer. Everybody that's listening, let's go ahead and pray this together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe he was real. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe he rose again. And I ask that he would come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that for the first time, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. You might think, yeah, but Pastor Mike, I've done so many things wrong. Doesn't matter. He didn't look at that criminal on the cross and say, you're a thief. You're a criminal. You're not good enough for heaven. No, he met the requirements of heaven, which was believing and receiving. If you did that, I'm so excited for you. You've now become God's child. Heaven is your eternal destination. God has so much good things for you, not just in heaven, but here on the earth. I do encourage you to find a church. You're welcome to come to this one. We're always going to preach the Bible, preach God's goodness, preach his love, his plan for you. But I encourage you to come to church, find a pastor that preaches the Bible, plant in that church when these churches open back up. Come, be faithful. You say, but I thought we didn't have to go to church. Listen, to go to heaven, you don't. But if you want to learn all that God has for you, like a message like today, you can't get that on your own. You want to learn all how to cooperate with him, how to receive divine healing, how to walk in prosperity, how to walk in favor, how to walk in victory, how to walk in faith. That's what we teach here. And we encourage you to get planted in a local church with a pastor and do the word. You'll be so blessed. So let us know if you received him for the first time. At this time, we're going to go ahead and take up communion. I'm going to ask Jeff to come forward and give me the elements here. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Again, I know hopefully you're doing this at home with me. This is a time of reverence. This is a time of honor. This is a time to remember what Jesus did for us, but not just to remember what he did. Why did he do what he did? This is a time to discern the Lord's body. His body for our healing, his blood for our redemption. Praise God. Before we get into the word and read it, let's just worship him. Let's be in reverence towards him. Lord, what a special time this is. What a glorious, precious time this is, Father. To be gathered together in one body, in one heart, one mind, one accord, taking up communion, remembering and recognizing what your precious Son did for us. Jesus, thank you so much for the price that you paid. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's go ahead and let's break the bread and let's eat it. Lord, we thank you for what the bread represents, the body. Lord, we're not going to fall prey to the damnation of weakness, sickness, and death for not discerning. We fully recognize that your body, the stripes that were laid on you, redeemed us from the curse of sickness. We thank you, Lord, as they looked at the serpent in the old and looked at the serpent on the pole. When we look at the body of Jesus on the cross, we know our healing was paid for us. So thank you for the healing that came from your body being broken. It says in verse 25, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's go ahead and let's drink. Now, Lord Jesus, the same way that we're not going to be ignorant to discern what the body of Jesus did, what your body went through, we are also not ignorant of what your blood did for us. For we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that do-over. Thank you for every time we ask you to forgive us, according to John 1:9, that blood cleanses us white as snow. We praise you and we worship you. We glorify and magnify you. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. We apologize for the technical difficulties we had. We'll get those worked out on Wednesday. But we just encourage you to bring your faith. And we're getting through a time that is unprecedented. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. I encourage you, please be praying and confessing and believing this is going to end soon. Be lifting me up in prayer for clarity to hear the voice of God. And we're just going to follow Him. And we'll all come together someday and be stronger and better than ever before. Let's go ahead and let's stand and worship Him. Father, we love you today. We praise and worship you. We glorify and magnify you. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I love and appreciate all of you. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30. God bless.